good to have everyone with us this morning. Glad we can be together, worship God together. There are several phrases, or several truisms, I guess is probably more appropriate to say, that we're familiar with. And in fact, in our bulletin this morning, there's an article by John Evans, who's the former preacher at the University Oaks Church of Christ in San Antonio. And he wrote an article about 10 years ago about neglect. And the article is entitled "The Power of Neglect." And he brought up a couple of different truisms that we're all pretty familiar with. If you neglect a proper diet for months or years, you'll soon be embarrassed to step on the scales. Neglect your home and it'll soon deteriorate. Neglect earthly relationships and friendships crumble, and so on and so forth. And these are all examples of everyday life. When you neglect things, neglect or not show proper attention to different responsibilities and different things that we are supposed to be showing attention to, those things are going to suffer. And this morning I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the danger of neglect. There are two terms in the New Testament that are translated neglect. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about these terms and about the places in the New Testament where we find them. And I want to bring out some applications. In fact, Nolan touched on a couple of them in his prayer. When we talk about neglect, we talk about the concept of not showing the proper attention. Sometimes it's not that we're negligent. Obviously, neglect and negligence sometimes go hand in hand. But there's a term in the New Testament that is used in Acts chapter 6 and in verse 1 that does not correlate to negligence or not caring. Rather, the term itself means to compare side by side. And in the way the term is used is to compare side by side, but then lose sight of one while taking care of the other. And so it's not negligence in Acts chapter 6 and in verse 1 when we find that in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. This term neglected, it is not deliberate, first of all. And second of all, it wasn't negligence. It wasn't that the apostles didn't care or that people didn't care. It was that because of everything going on and all of the responsibilities at this point that were on the apostles' shoulders, they simply overlooked the Grecian widows. And this is what prompts the necessity for seven men to be chosen of the congregation in Jerusalem specifically to take care of those Grecian widows. But I want to point out that the Bible here, there's a difference between this term and the term we're going to look at, which means to not care. Okay? It's not that these apostles or that the brethren didn't care about the Grecian widows. It's just that because of all of the people, and this is part of the reason why Luke points out, while the brethren or the number of the disciples was multiplying. Okay? They had thousands of members in the church of Jerusalem at this point. And so these women were being overlooked, not because of a lack of care. And I want to point that out in connection with application for us in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of all of the things going on. And in many ways, for some of us, things might be less busy, maybe because there's not as much stuff going on outside of work or outside of church and so forth. For some of us, though, especially for those of us with kids, it's chaos. And with everything taking place, sometimes it's easy to overlook our responsibilities, whether it's as a parent, as a spouse, as an employee or employer, as a Christian. Again, and not because of a lack of caring, but because there's so much going on and so much around us that maybe we just get distracted. We are comparing things side by side, and as we're in the midst of that, we're paying maybe more attention to one thing, and we just overlook paying attention to other responsibilities. Brethren, life is difficult. We know this. And whether it's a pandemic, whether it's an election year, no matter what it is, there's always going to be distractions. And those opportunities to accidentally overlook things, not because of a lack of caring, But simply because of everything going on, that's always going to be there. That temptation, stumbling block of overlooking things is going to be there. And we have to take a step back and think about, first of all, our priorities. Obviously, our priority is getting to heaven and making sure our loved ones are on their way to heaven, making sure that the people we care about, the people we have contact with, can have access to us to be able to talk about the gospel and so forth. That the spiritual attention is the first and foremost priority. And then under the umbrella of doing the will of God and serving God, then we have these other responsibilities, whether it is as a spouse or as a parent or a grandparent or brother and sister in Christ. And it's important to note that we have many among us that we haven't seen since March because of everything going on, because of all of the caution and some of our elderly. They haven't been able to get out since March. And it's important for us to not overlook them, to remind them that we care about them. And there are times when we overlook things, and it's not because we don't care. It's just that sometimes we get so caught up in all of the details of all the other responsibilities that things get overlooked sometimes. And we need to be aware of that. And when it comes to our mind, or put it on a list of things to pray for, or a list of things to text or to email or to call, whatever it is that we can do to reach out to brethren, to reach out to family members, to take care of our responsibilities, to remind us to do those things. I think Acts chapter 6 and verse 1 is a great example where just because something's being neglected doesn't mean that it's not being cared about. It's just that sometimes things are overlooked. But we go from this angle or this side of things of neglect to a completely different side of the concept of neglect. The second term in the New Testament that is used and is translated neglect, this term means to not care about or to be careless. This term is used exclusively with the concept of spiritual importance. For instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 14, Paul reminds Timothy, and of course, keep in mind as Paul writes to Timothy, both 1 and 2 Timothy, are a call to Timothy to remain faithful, for him to continue to teach and preach the gospel. He says in verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example. And then he goes on in verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then in verse 14, Paul says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is not talking about a spiritually miraculous gift. We're not talking about speaking in tongues or the gift of prophecy or anything else. Paul addresses that concept later with Timothy in 2 Timothy. That the laying on of hands by Paul gave him some gift. What's being referred to here, talking about the eldership, laying on hands of the eldership, was the commitment to teach the gospel. And it is this gift to which Paul tells Timothy, do not neglect this gift that was given to you. The opportunity, the privilege, the blessing you have of being able to wield the gospel and to help others understand what salvation means, how to be saved. And it's in this context that Paul says, do not neglect, don't be careless, don't care about this gift, don't not pay attention to what you're supposed to be doing. And one could say, well, obviously, yeah, for Timothy being an evangelist, that's true. It's not just limited to evangelists. In 2 Peter chapter 1, when Peter writes to the saints, 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse, starting verse 10, after Peter goes through adding to your faith virtue, kindness, and so forth, he goes on to say, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Peter's not teaching them anything new. These are all things they've been taught. Characteristics that they need to have as Christians include knowledge, self-control, perseverance. They know this. They also know that if these characteristics are theirs and they abound, verse 8, they will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is why in verse 12, Peter says this, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Verse 13, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent," his body, "just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Verse 15, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Notice, not only does he say, "I will not be negligent," which means careless or to not care about, but then in verse 15, "I will be careful." Peter considered it extremely important that the brethren not just be taught something new, because at this point the brethren had been taught what they needed to know, but to be reminded. I can almost guarantee that any sermon I have ever taught or will ever teach is most likely not going to be something you've never heard before. I'm sure it's going to be things in some form or fashion you've heard lessons on, you've read scripture, maybe there's some application maybe you haven't thought about, but I guarantee there's nothing new that you're going to hear up here in the pulpit. And if there is, you should be worried. Instead, what we do when we teach the gospel, whether it's in class or in the pulpit, it's reminding us of what we need to know and what we need to remember regarding how to get to heaven. And that's what's so important about why Peter says, "I will not be negligent about this. And I will be careful to make sure you are continue to be reminded." Why? Because the truth of God's word and the need to teach it and retain it is too important. And when it comes to negligence, this isn't just something that can be overlooked. We must pay attention to God's word, and we must care not only about remembering it, retaining it, practicing it, but also teaching others about it. In Matthew chapter 22, we have a parable spoken by Jesus. In addition to the need to teach the gospel, to retain the gospel, and be able to maintain our understanding of it in our lives, Jesus teaches a parable in Matthew 22 about the kingdom of heaven and the importance of obtaining it. And in verse 1 of Matthew 22, Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, verse 2, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come." Verse 4, "Again he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted cattle have been killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding.' Verse 5, "But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go to the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.' So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." It's interesting as we go through this, obviously the specifics of the parable are dealing with Jews and the Gentiles. But notice that this is about the kingdom of heaven, verse 2. It's about salvation. And that word of God was taught to the Jews. They rejected it, even to the point of killing the Messiah himself. And so now the master is turning to anyone, Jew, Gentile, it makes no difference. If you will but come to the feast and wear the proper garment. That's what we see in verse 11 and 12. Meet the proper conditions, then you will have access to that. But notice verse 5. Our term neglect is found here in verse 5. Same term as we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in 2 Peter chapter 1. They made light of it. That's the term for neglect. That's the same Greek term as to not care about, to be careless, to make light of. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter to me. This term, neglect, is used in the context, in the application of the parable of the Jews rejecting the prophets and ultimately Jesus himself. But remember what this is about. It's about the kingdom of heaven. It's about salvation. It's about forgiveness of sins. It's about the opportunity to have eternal life with God. And Jesus says one of the problems with those to whom the Jews that were invited is that they didn't care. And certainly in a broader application, there are people who aren't going to care today. And we need to make sure we're not one of them. This is the very message that the Hebrew writer offers in Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 2. And notice in verse 3. The Hebrew writer says, how shall we escape? Escape what? Escape condemnation. If we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. It's a rhetorical question from the Hebrew writer. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What does the Hebrew writer say in verse 2? He says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, God keeps his promises, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, God will reward those who are righteous, certainly, but then those who are wicked, disobedient, they will be punished. How shall we escape? The term neglect here, again, is careless. Don't care. Doesn't mean anything to me. The Hebrew writer is not writing about individuals who are in the world who don't care about God. He says, how shall we escape? Verse 3. He's talking about Christians. Individuals, and of course, kind of the background of this is that there were some Christians who were going back to the old law, rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. How shall we escape if we neglect, if we choose not to care about the great salvation that was prophesied and then fulfilled in Christ? Well, what do we do to avoid neglect? How do we go about avoiding this trap? Obvious, as we talked about with overlooking things, not that we don't care, sometimes that things just get lost in the muddiness of life sometimes, pay attention. Set priorities. Make notes or mental notes or tell Google or Siri or whoever to remind you. That's important. And when it comes to God's word, listen to what God says. Care about what God says. What does the Hebrew writer say in verse 1? He equips us to understand how to deal with this. What does he say? Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Drift away how? Because we don't care? Or also because we're overlooking our own salvation? You know, it's possible to get so bogged down with life that you overlook what's most important, getting to heaven. And certainly in the midst of the pandemic and in the midst of everything going on, politics and society and everything, it's possible to overlook the things that matter the most. And while certainly our families and our responsibilities take priority, the number one priority is getting to heaven. And the Hebrew writer says, give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. What was it that Paul told Timothy back in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. We have to pay attention. We have to care. We have to care enough not to overlook, but to maintain the proper priority. That's the lesson for you this morning. In the midst of all of this going on, to take a look at the danger of neglect. To understand that the Bible acknowledges that sometimes neglect isn't negligence. It's not just not caring. Sometimes it literally is just overlooking. But we are warned about both. To make sure we take care of the things that need to be taken care of, both for ourselves and for those around us to get to heaven. We offer an invitation to those who are not Christians. Do not neglect the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Do not neglect the opportunity you have today. While it is called today, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that not only are our lives frail, but you know what? Our sense of normalcy, our sense of community, our lives are frail. Anything can happen and upend everything. Why not put to rest, put to ease the danger of facing God, facing Jesus in judgment, not being prepared because you're not baptized to have your sins washed away? You can do that this morning. Those of us who are Christians, the same call applies. Why wait? Why take the risk of being in a lost state before God? Make your life right. Do so this morning as we stand and as we sing.